Thank you, guys. Good to have them as members. You know what's funny? What's funny is how can you tell you when you've had a rough day? That's how I'm starting out this sermon today. And I think I just need really only say, just look at what's happened this morning. And you can see that's what happens when you have a rough day. But how can you tell that you have a rough day? When you wake up face down on the floor with and your face into a pair of socks, you can tell you've had a rough day. How can you tell you've had a rough day when your birthday cake collapses under the weight of all the candles? How can you tell you've had a rough day when your twin forgets your birthday? How can you tell you've had a rough day when your horn goes off accidentally and remains on while you're stuck in a traffic jam? How can you tell you've had a rough day when you put both contacts lenses in the same eye? You've had a rough day. That has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, continuing on in Luke. Transformed by the gospel for life. And we go to Luke chapter 22 and starting at verse 22 to 34. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, nor barn, and yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about the other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, and an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, and these verses are very familiar to us, but God, there is so much in them that we need to know and that we need to practice on a daily basis. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you would again teach us. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes and would you open our minds to be able to see and understand? And then, Father, may we put it to use in our lives. May this practical sermon change our lives. May it help us to realize and understand who you are and what you desire for our lives. And so, Father God, we commit this morning to you, and Father, we just pray again that you would teach us through your word this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So Jesus makes a bold statement again in this verse. I mean, Jesus continues to make incredibly bold statements in our world, and he makes another bold statement that is absolutely contrary to the world's thinking, to the world's beliefs, to what the world teaches and thinks around us. In verse 22, he says, "Do not worry." And then in verse 29, he says, "Don't keep worrying." And then in 32, he says, "Do not be afraid." Well, it seems pretty simplistic, but why do we struggle with worry in this world? Worry-free living is part of what Jesus offers. It's in fact part of the gospel message. It's part of his message that he's sharing with us. If you are in the kingdom of God, if you are a believer today, then it is yours, it is ours. If we receive it by faith. Now, I totally get why the world is stressed out. I understand why people are anxious. I understand why people worry. It's scary to be suspended in this mysterious universe. It's a scary place to be, and at times feeling all alone, feeling like you're the only person suspended in this world. Wondering, why am I here? What is the purpose for me? What is the purpose in my life? What happens beyond this life? I can understand why people take drugs. I can understand why people drink and go on eating binges and go on shopping binges and wild adventures and all to keep and do all these kinds of things to fill up and occupy their minds with other thoughts because they don't want to think of the reality that is there. Because outside of the kingdom of God, it's very scary. There is no hope. There is no purpose outside of the kingdom of God. And so I understand why people worry. I understand why they are drawn to other things. Because there is no hope or little hope. There is no purpose. Things look bleak in the future when there is no hope of eternity that God has promised to give his children. We're living in a culture that is burdened by worry. We're living in a culture that is overcome by worry and fear. And what's amazing is that we are living in a country that is so absolutely privileged. We are probably one of the most privileged societies ever. We are the most comfortable society ever. And in spite of all these privileges, in spite of all these comforts that we have, it seems that we are the most worrisome, the most anxious, the most stressed out society of all time. There's a huge medical world that specializes in helping people with worries and fears. No worry goes unnamed. No worry goes undiagnosed. No worry goes undefined. No worry goes undiagnosed. No worry goes unmedicated. But they just go unrelieved. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know that there is need for medical help and medication due to anxiety. I understand that I'm... And continuing to learn about the whole chemical deficiency in our body and imbalances that we have as well and the need for medical attention. I get that. But I believe worry and anxiety and fear are not limited to those medical conditions. And God knew this because he inspired men to write these words about worry. He knew that we were going to worry. And it's a message that is as real today as it was years ago when Jesus preached it himself. It is very real. But what Jesus is teaching is absolutely contrary to what the world around us says. And the world around us says, just manage it. Just get by. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't keep on worrying. Because we seem to ask that what if question. The question that causes us so much to think about so many things that give us so much grief and so much anxiety. What if? And we ask the what ifs, we begin to imagine the worst possible scenarios in the what ifs, the worst possible outcome in the what ifs. And to that we add the next worst case scenario, only to add and compound our worrying. What if? What if? While we don't want to argue with Jesus, really, we might wonder if his words about worry are realistic. Are they realistic for me today? I mean, shouldn't we be concerned about tomorrow? What if we get laid off from work? What if I get sick? Our biggest fears are that we won't have bread and threads and shelter. Those are some of our biggest worries. I'd encourage you right now, if there's some of those what-ifs going through your head, write them down. Don't look at your neighbor. But what are some of the what-ifs that are going through your head right now? Man, because they're causing us some grief in our lives. I remember a few years back, I had used one of the Grand West demo quads, and some things happened. Some not good things happened. And so I had to go back on Monday morning, and I borrowed it over the weekend. I had to go back to the boss and tell him, look, I cracked the fender, and it doesn't work anymore. The motor is shot. Well, I tell you, Sunday night was not a good night of sleep because I was so worried. I was thinking of all the worst case scenarios that could happen. He could fire me. He could be mad at me. He could be, all these things are going through my head. When I got there Monday morning, he wasn't in his office. And so I was stressed about it. I could not stop thinking about it. I didn't sleep. I was overtired and worried about what he was going to say. And I went into his office when he finally, I actually left him a voicemail, and he had gone into a meeting. And I said, hey, Mr. Redikop, hey, George, can you call me as soon as you get into your office? And so he calls me into his office and he says, have a seat. And so I proceeded to tell him what happened, and he said, oh, is that all it is? I had worried for nothing. I spent all this time with sleepless nights worrying about something that didn't happen. Worst case scenario, I would have had to pay to fix it. That's the worst case scenario, but I chose to worry about it. What a crazy thought. There's things that occupy our mind. What if he doesn't, what if he doesn't accept my money? What if he doesn't like, all these what ifs. So what is the what if that's going on in your head right now? And I'm not saying it's absolutely wise to plan for the future. That's not what I'm saying. But the imagined thirst of tomorrow, even though our well is full today, even though we're doing well today, but the imagined thirst of tomorrow, even though we are fully well today, is one thirst that is absolutely unquenchable. We can't. The what ifs that you have for tomorrow are impossible to satisfy. I'm not saying that we shouldn't make some plans, but we shouldn't be consumed by those plans. So what is worry, and what does it accomplish? What is it, and what does it really accomplish in our lives? Worry can be defined as a sense of uneasiness and anxiety about the future. This word used in classical Greek to describe a condition of being raised up or suspended in air like a person dangling from a rope tied to a tree. The word was used to describe a person who felt totally insecure and swinging out of control. Doesn't that really describe what happens when we worry? It's like we're dangling out of control and we worry about all these things that there's nothing that we can do about it, and you're all out of control. There's no security. But God's people, God's children, we're not to be gripped by insecurity. But that's what worry does to a person. It leaves us feeling absolutely insecure. Our goals and our desires, they pull us in one direction, and our fears pull us in another direction. Instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord, fixed on the Lord, we focus on things that can't satisfy. We focus on things that will never, ever give us peace. They will never bring peace to our lives. In fact, the average person, we hang ourselves between two thieves. The regrets of yesterday, the things that we think about yesterday, oh my goodness, you know, I could have done this, I could have done that. And we worry about that. Or am I the only one? Sometimes we worry and we have regrets about what we did yesterday. And we lose sleep over it. I lose sleep over it. Or the other thief is the worries of tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? When we have no control over it. Well, first of all, what's done is done. And there's nothing that we can do about the worries of tomorrow. Because we don't know how they'll play out. Jesus is not forbidding us from looking after our material needs. That's not what he's saying here. But he is saying not to let our material needs consume every waking hour of every day and keep us up at night. That's what he's saying. Christ is not teaching here that we aren't able to think about and take proper action regarding our food and clothing. He's not saying that don't work, sit around, and be lazy. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. We have to eat, we have to live, and we most certainly need to be clothed. But it's impossible to get so, but it is possible to get so anxious, so consumed, and worried about these things that we take our eyes, we take our attention, we take our focus off the more important matter of our spiritual needs and of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it does. Worry takes our focus off of God. Worry and anxiety are crippling our society today. They are crippling our society by making people so afraid they aren't able to step outside the house in extreme cases. They're not able to go to different places. They're confined to the home. People avoid other people because they're scared they might catch something. People have these huge fears, these huge worries, and it's crippling them. I was reading a story of one gentleman who was, and the whole thing's boils down to sin in his life, but for whatever reason, he had so consumed his mind that he could not drive on, I can't remember whether it's even-numbered or odd-numbered streets, but he would not drive on odd-numbered streets. So he just, wherever he had to go, he had to stay on even-numbered streets. So tell me, how do you get from Osler, Saskatchewan, to McDonald's on 51st Street in Saskatoon? That's going to be rough. But his whole mind, and this consumed him, he agonized over it, he worried about it. Isn't that, it's so unnecessary. But that's what it's doing. It's crippling our society. Our worry is crippling our society. It's incredible. We lack sleep because of worry. Because we're playing out the possible what-ifs in our mind. And we lose sleep. And all this, it's crippling our society, and yet it's absolutely futile. Absolutely futile. Matthew 6:27 says, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" What does it accomplish? It doesn't add anything to the quality of your life. It doesn't add anything to the time of our life. It does us absolutely no good. Ecclesiastes 2:22-23 says, "For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving, which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity." We're not letting our minds rest because we're so worried, so consumed with the next thing, with not having enough. Worrying about what people will think of us because we don't have the latest clothing trends or whatever it is, or the latest electronics or all these things, but they do bring worry to us. They consume our minds. But Scripture teaches that worry and anxiety are ultimately grounded in the lack of trust in the living God. That's what it is. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. James 1, 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God, and if it's according to his will, he's going to give it. And it might look different than our thinking, than our desire, because we have to pray in according to God's will. But if we start worrying, he tells us that he's going to supply us with everything. In our passage of Scripture, it tells us how he looks after the grass, the flowers, and the birds. How much more will he look after us as children? So when we're worrying, what does worrying say? We're saying, God, you aren't big enough. Oh, sure, you made the universe, but you're not big enough to supply for my needs. No, it's not about wants, it's about needs. But that's what it's saying. When we are worried, God, you can't handle this. God, you're not big enough. Isn't that an incredible statement to make to the God of the universe? God, you're not big enough to handle this situation? I mean, Israel was in the same boat. They constantly worried about, where's our food coming from? Where's our water going to come from? They constantly complained. And God showed up time after time after time and showed his faithfulness to them over and over and over again. And when I worry, I have to look back only a very short time in my life and I see that God has been faithful. But yet when I worry again, it's saying, God, yeah, you handled those things okay, but this one's bigger than you. That's a pretty bold statement to say to the creator of all things. And Jesus offers us his perfect solution for worry. And it's being God-centered. We have to remain God-centered. We don't want to be like Peter, who took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. When we lose our focus, when our focus isn't on God, when we are not God-centered, that's when worry begins to seep in. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to him. Seek after God. Make him the foundation for your life. Make him the center of your life, and he will grant you all the things that you need in this life. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. And you will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. I believe that all of us, we desire to be like that tree. That tree was rooted, so rooted in God is what it's saying. Be rooted in God to the point that when drought comes, when those situations in our life come that would cause us to worry, we understand and we know and we recognize the faithfulness of God, that we still remain steadfast as that tree with green leaves. But we have to be God-centered. We have to be Christ-centered. And we will stand strong. And prayer is a big part of that. We've talked about prayer a little while ago. We had a couple sermons on prayer. Prayer is a huge part of it. And in Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your care on him. Be in communion with him. Be in the word to make him the center of your life, to build into that intimate relationship that he so desires with each one of us. and pray. Cast your burdens on him. We don't have to worry. We can cast our burdens on God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, again, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the result of that, what is the result of that? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And there's some steps we can take. Get to know God. Continue to make him the center of our lives. And then stop seeking after stuff. Get away from the whole stuff seeking. Replace it with kingdom seeking. Seeking the kingdom of God. Luke 12, 22 says, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will wear. And then 29 says, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. And then 30 says, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek after. That's what the world seeks after. They are worried about what they're going to eat. They're going to worried about who's going to provide. They are the ones that are worried. The people in the kingdom of God, they shouldn't be worried. And it goes on in verse 30, but your Father knows what your needs are. He knows that you need these things. But he says, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Seek his kingdom. So be kingdom seekers, not stuff seekers. Don't get caught up in that whole, the world has so much of that seek stuff. And it's so hard not to get caught up in that. Because everything changes so quickly. Everything is so disposable. You buy one and you throw it away because the next better thing is coming out. The world promotes it. It's so contrary to what the world teaches. But Jesus says, seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Replace stuff seeking with kingdom seeking. Do it without worrying about having things. He calls us to be different from the rest of the world. Don't be like the world. They were like that. The world is like that. They seek after stuff. They worry that they don't have enough. They worry that they don't have the latest thing. But you don't need to worry. You don't need to seek after that. Because we're seeking after something far greater. And when he says, don't be afraid to be different in the world. Don't be afraid to be different. All the nations of the world, they so eagerly seek after stuff. But disciples of Jesus replace stuff-seeking, things-seeking with kingdom-seeking. And they leave the financial success of their ventures with God as the focus on the spiritual payoff. That's what we're looking for, is the spiritual payoff. We're looking at the righteousness payoff and the mercy payoff and the Christ-exalting payoff and the money, and not the money payoff. The foundation of this fearless, single-minded focus is on the kingdom of God. That's where the focus is. That in all we do, his promise is to carry us through, and he will. Verse 30 says, your Father knows that you need these things. You need this stuff. He knows that. He's aware of it. This past week, I asked six or seven-year-old little girl at She stopped by the office and she was standing there and she was looking at my computer as I was sermonating and getting ready for today. And she was looking at it and I told her, I said, this is, you're getting a preview. You're getting a free preview for Sunday. And so then a thought came to me and I said, so do you worry? Is there anything that you're worried about? And she looked for a couple seconds and she said, nope. Not a worry in the world. Do you know why there's not a worry in her world? Because she has complete faith in her parents that her mom and dad are going to give her everything that she needs. That's talking of earthly parents. How do you think our God is going to care for us? Man, we don't have a care in the world. Are you worried about anything? Nope. Why? Because I have faith in Almighty God that He will supply all my needs. Do not be afraid, little flock. Jesus says, don't be afraid, little flock. What would cause him to be afraid? What would cause them to be afraid? And the answer is in this passage. If you look backward, the thing that they are in danger of, the thing that they fear, is the call to no longer be like the nations. Oh my goodness, don't be like the nations, he's saying. They're afraid not to be like the nations. They're afraid to be different than the world. Isn't that the same with us? Don't be afraid to be different than the world, he's saying. Don't be stuff seekers. Verse 30, they also feared that if they focused on God, would they really be at peace? They feared that. They were afraid that, would they really feel secure if they believed in God, if they trusted in God? Would they really be happy? That was a fear that they had. Would they survive? To this, Jesus says, fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. I will supply all your needs. If we go forward to verse 33, the things they are afraid of is selling their things. That's some bold stuff that's going on. Verse 33, do not be afraid, little flock. Sell your possessions and give to charity. That is scary stuff. That is why he's saying, don't be afraid. So if we go backward to verse 30, the fear is not to seek things and stuff the way the nations do. And if we go forward to verse 33, the fear is giving things away, selling things. Why do we fear losing these things? Because they wear out anyways. They only last for such a short time. Like my iPad, it's going on the fritz. And it's not going to last forever. So why am I so worried? Why do we need to consume ourselves with worrying about these things so much? They wear down, they break out, and our spiritual treasure is of eternal value. That's what we need to seek after. Don't be afraid to seek after stuff of being God-centered, because that stuff has eternal value. The treasure is eternal. It is not temporary. So why do we spend so much time and so much effort worrying about these things that help us nothing in eternity? They help us nothing in our spiritual lives. So we look at earthly treasure or spiritual treasure. Treasure is something that's highly valued objects or accumulated riches. Treasure has at best only a short-term benefit, but can bring spiritual dangers. Spiritual treasure is of eternal value and comes from knowing and serving God. Spiritual treasure consists in knowing God and His wisdom. Colossians 2:2-3 says, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's the knowledge we need to desire to seek after. God's word is His supreme treasure. And that's why it's so dear to us. That's why it should be so dear to us. Job 23:12 says, I have not departed from the command of His lips. I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. That's how the word of God, precious the word of God should be. That's how we should treasure it. Psalm 19:9-10 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the drippings of the honeycomb. Psalm 119:72 says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. When we truly, truly understand the treasure that we have in the Word of God, that's how we will value it. That everything else will fall to the wayside. We won't worry about unnecessary things. And the kingdom of God is supreme treasure. Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys this field. There's so much joy in the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, 45 and 46 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of God is such an incredibly valuable treasure. Spiritual treasure is so much more important than material possessions. Hebrews 11, 26 says, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Job 22, 23 and 25 says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness far from your tent and place your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, then the Almighty will be your gold and choice silver. Do we understand the value of what we have, the treasure that we have in God, the treasure that we have in his kingdom, the treasure that we have in his word? And then we have the eternal value. Luke 12:33 says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself money belts and do not wear out. And unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Matthew 6:20 says, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in. They have eternal value. But we consume ourselves with worry on such menial things that have no eternal value and that wear out and that break down and leave us disappointed and empty. But we feel, oh my goodness, I am going to be so ecstatic when I have that. And we worry and we do all kinds of things to get it. Man, are we missing out? So what are some practical things? Talking about worry in my life then, looking at all of this, what are some practical things that I can do in my life to reduce the worry, to get rid of the worry, to make sure that I don't worry, lose sleep endlessly over things that don't matter or the things that it's not going to change one iota if I worry about them. And the good news is we don't even have to, we just have to cast our cares upon God. We have to trust him, make him God-centered. So how do we, and we're not alone. I mean, God will help us. In Philippians 2:13, in the NLT, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what he pleases. Oh my goodness, I don't even have to deal with this. God will give me the desire to leave the worry with him, and he has the power to do it. Read his word. Know what his desire is for you. And prayer is a part of that. And when you fully know and by faith believe what his word says about his character, you can trust him and leave all your burdens with him. You don't have to worry. Don't get loaded down with, so what are some practical things? Well, don't get loaded down with debt that causes financial burdens, causing us to worry. Man, the easiest thing to do is to get stuff because they tell you for 10 bucks a week, you can have this. For another 10, 25 bucks a week, you can have that. And then they go on and on and on. Well, by the time the 25 bucks and the 10s add up, now you're so far in debt that you start worrying, how do I pay for this? That's one of the things. Don't get so consumed about stuff. Be less impulsive when you see something you want. Don't buy into the lie that Satan says, the more lie buys happiness. Study the Word of God. Rest in the God of the universe that you have trusted in for your salvation. Sometimes we worry how the world might view us. How does the world see us? Stop worrying. Stop being so focused about me, bringing glory to me. That's what it is. Humble yourself. There's some practical things that we can do. We worry about how others see us. In fact, we make up all kinds of scenarios when we do things, when we have done things, and we worry about it. Oh my goodness, I might have done this and given somebody this impression, and we worry about it, and it consumes us. How do we know what they're thinking? We don't even know how they view us or how they feel us, and yet it consumes our mind. How do I know this? Because I've been there. I understand about worry. Man, my family is filled with people who worry. But we don't know how others see us. And man, I tell you, I have struggled with this, how people view us. And it has to do with my poor eyesight. I struggle with this. My involuntary eye movement. How do people see that? In the past, it has worried me. What do they think of me? My eyes are crazy. In the past, it's caused me to lose sleep. But what do we do? Do we become so consumed by worry and what others think that we lock ourselves in the basement? We don't sleep. Because we're worried. We don't eat because we're worried. We allow this worry, this deceitful thinking that God, that Satan has put in our mind to cripple us. Don't allow it to cripple us. And in order to be able to not worry about what people think about my eyesight is I have to realize and recognize who I am in Christ. If I'm not in Christ, and then I am nobody. But man, when I am in Christ, I don't have to worry about that. Be confident in your identity in Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid of what the world thinks. Don't be afraid of what people think. I'm made in the image of God. You are made in the image and likeness of God with a mind to think, with will and emotions. Man, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, but we do live in a fallen world. So we have some issues. But we don't have to worry about that because God calls me his child. I am his child. I don't have to worry about these things. And then he empowers us. Did you know that verse that we read earlier? He calls us and he equips us and he empowers us. Isn't that perfect? We don't have to worry about we don't have to worry about the little things that we think are wrong with ourselves and that, well, what will people see? What will they think of us? We don't have to worry about that. But we do have to be God-focused. We are his disciple, and he calls us to make disciples in our world. And that needs to be our focus. The focus isn't on me, because we want to make Jesus famous, ultimately. How that works? How he calls you to make him famous in your world? I don't know, but the good news is you don't have to worry about it. Because he empowers you. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the words. We don't have to worry about these things. Oh my goodness. Don't you love worry-free living? I don't know if you're caught up in some worry and some anxiety. It's incredibly grueling because it robs you of your peace. It takes away that peace that we should have. That peace that passes all understanding in a world that is crazy out of control. But Jesus gives us that incredible peace if we allow him. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to care. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can cast our cares upon you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care about absolutely every detail of our lives and that you care about every need in my life. And God, you are sufficient to supply that need. Oh God, I pray that we would be people that don't worry, that don't consume ourselves with worry, but that consume ourselves with kingdom, the kingdom of God, that we consume ourselves with with the richness, the riches of your being in your kingdom, the riches that we are given, the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh God, we have nothing to worry. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and God, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning, God, that has worry on their minds, on their hearts, God, that they would seek after you, that they would genuinely seek after you, and that they would cast all their burdens on you and walk in just an absolute peace that you give, an incredible peace that nobody understands because we live in such a fallen world, but peace that you give. Father God, we thank you for that. And God, I pray that you would just go with us from here and that you would impact our lives and impress it upon our hearts, that we don't need to be consumed by this worry. Father, we thank you for all these things and pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, and then Lord bless you as you go throughout this week. And remember to cast your burdens on him.